Romans chapter 13, before I read these verses, I just want to say to those, if you are listening, maybe YouTube or CD online, whatever the case may be, I wanted to just encourage you to check out our website. It's CLM Family, CLMFAMILY.org. There's an email link. You can email me questions, prayer requests, praises. I just shared that I wrote a little devotion yesterday. You might want to check out on there as well. Messages from the past over 2 years on there. You can pull those up anytime and just listen to them. So anyway, it's just available as a source of ministry. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Verse 9, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness or lie to be deceptive, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then verse 10, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Would you, I know we may have different translations, but would you read that verse 10 out loud with me? If we read it off the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Would you read it together? "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." So here's the simple message this morning. God's love makes the difference. God's love makes the difference. The Bible teaches that we were created in the image of God, and we have certain attributes that are like God. For example, right off the bat in Genesis, we read, "In the beginning, God created." Are people creative? Think of all of the, my goodness, creation, inventions, and everything that we're just something within our nature. And it says, "In the beginning, God created, and he said," humans have the unique ability of language, articulate language and expression in that way. And of course, the Bible says God is love, and we have the capacity to love. But we also bear the image of our ancestors who broke God's commandments. And breaking God's commandment is called sin in the Bible. And so whether that's we did something he told us not to do, or we don't do something he told us to do, that's sin. And sin marred the image of God in us. So now we use our creativity at times to steal someone's identity. We use our identity or our creativity. How many of you did you hear on the news? Well, I think it was actually last year, but it just came out in the last 2 or 3 weeks that another country tried to, they attempted a cyber attack on a children's hospital in Boston. Why would you even, do you see what I'm saying? See how that creativity has been marred by sin? And then even our words, we can use our words to bless and encourage, or we can use them to curse and to hurt one another. And then love, even love has been tainted because we can actually have love that's more motivated out of something that pleases me or that is something that I'm after. So the image of God has been marred. Not only does it mar the image of God in us, sin separates us from a holy God, our creator. And the Bible calls that separation death. Spiritual death is separation from God. We may live to be 120 years old, but we may never know him as Father. And so that's called spiritual death. And we all know what physical death is, but physical death came as a result of spiritual death. And that death is not only in time, it's for eternity. We would be separated from God forever, other than the good news, which is that God loved us so much. The Bible says, "But God, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were sinners, he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins." God gave his son to pay the ransom to free us from sin and death and bring us back into right relationship with God. Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross. Some of you are familiar with what happened before he was arrested that night. After the Passover meal that we call communion, remember he went into a garden called Gethsemane and he prayed and he sought his Father. And the Bible says he was under such stress that blood and sweat were coming out of the pores of his skin. His capillaries, I guess, in his body were breaking under that kind of pressure and intense stress, because he knew the cup of God's wrath that he would have to drink to bear the judgment for our sins. But yet, what did he say? Not my will, your will be done. Thank God. But why did he do that? Why did he submit himself to such agony and death and suffering and abuse the way he did? Any ideas? So we would not have to go to hell to be separated from him forever. And why did he do it? Because he what? Because of his love for us. And see, that's what makes the difference. God's love for us. The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. See, it's the love of God that draws us to repentance, the Bible says. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Repentance means I'm turning. So it's not my way, it's God's. I'm turning from unbelief, and his love draws me to not only repent, to turn, but to come to him and to believe that he loves me and that Jesus really is the Lord that he claimed to be. And when we do that, let me go back to this scripture here. See, the Bible says in that verse 10, Romans 13, 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. See how love makes the difference? It's love makes the difference first in drawing me to God and his will. I'm talking about love. God's love makes the difference in how we live our daily lives, or it can make the difference. God's love makes the difference in how we see and enjoy God's blessings. See, if we have a proper and true concept of God and his love for us, then I don't just look at the blessings of God as that just happened by coincidence. I say, thank you, Lord. He loves me, and he gave me even this little thing because it's special to me. God's love makes a difference in how we face and overcome the trials and challenges that we all go through in this life. Because yes, it hurts, and yes, I'm grieved, and maybe sometimes even angry, but I know in my heart that it will not separate me from the love of God, and it helps me to keep going. God's love makes a difference in how we face and overcome temptation. Because when I'm tempted, part of me, I want to sin, but yet I know I don't want to sin against God because his love has done something in my heart. And I'll say this too, God's love makes a difference in how we get back up after we fall. I didn't say if we fall. After we fall. We all fall short at times. And knowing that I'm loved helps me to get back up and keep on going and staying close. And then according to the text here, God's love makes a difference in how we treat one another. So I just wanted to share, how do we live it out though? How does it come more than, you know, become more than words on a page to where it actually becomes a way in my life and thought, just a nice thought to how we practically live it out in our daily lives? And there are two ways I believe that we can look at scripture to see. And if you're in Romans 13, would you turn back to chapter 4? Romans chapter 4, God's love makes the difference. Romans chapter 4, and before we give you the verses, let me just tell you these two steps here. We can put them on a screen. Again, you don't have to speed write. I just want you to hear it, and then we'll take a few moments on each one, okay? God's love makes the difference. Number one, we must receive God's love and forgiveness for ourselves personally. God loves the whole world, but not everyone is walking in the benefits and blessing of God's love in a personal way. So we must receive God's love and forgiveness. I want to read these verses in Romans just a moment, but let me ask you this. I want to ask you to think about this because maybe you can relate to what I'm saying. Do you sometimes struggle receiving God's love and forgiveness? Is there a battle in your will and in your heart? Because I've been there. I'm not saying I've arrived now, but in my own life, I have had a tendency to, I base God's love for me. I'm not saying this is right, okay? But I've based God's love for me on my performance. If I think, I'm a good little boy, he's happy, he loves me, and that's, you know, we want to please God. But his love and forgiveness are not based on my performance. It's based on who he is and what Jesus did at Calvary. So, but even now, knowing that, I have grown in it, certainly, and becoming a dad helped me. Because for years, you know, I love children, little babies, but especially a little one. When I hold a little baby, I would be uncomfortable. And if they wiggled or made a face or anything, I'm like, oh, what is it? What's wrong? What's up? You know, hand them back. But when I was in the delivery room and first held Brittany, it was just instant, not even, it was just like as natural as it could be. And I knew this anyway, but it became more real to me when I realized I loved her just because she's mine. She hasn't cleaned a room. She hadn't told me. She hadn't bought me anything. She hadn't done anything. She's just mine. And I came to understand, Lord, I'm so thankful. You love me because I'm yours, because of what Jesus did, not based on my performance. I'll never measure up to earn God's love, but he freely gives it anyway. So freely receive God's love and forgiveness. I think that's one of the greatest things is we need to overcome any hindrances, remove hindrances so that we freely receive what God wants to give. That's why it says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Romans 4, 25, speaking of Jesus, it said he was delivered up because of our offenses. That means delivered up to die on a cross. But he was raised to life because of our justification. I learned the word justified like this, if it's any help. It means just as if I'd never sinned. So justified, just as if I'd never sinned. In a way, it's really more because justified means that we are declared righteous by God. We are declared right standing, righteous by God because Jesus died on the cross and came back to life. And then the very next sentence, 5:1, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God declares us righteous based on the perfect work of Jesus on the cross. And if we believe God, we can receive and walk in all the spiritual blessings that God has provided for us, beginning with the full forgiveness of our sins, salvation, adoption, and growing in our walk with him. But if we refuse to believe for whatever reason, then we're going to cut off. We're going to block the blessings of God from coming in and walking in all that God has provided for us. God, we do know aspects of God from creation. Maybe he's powerful, he's awesome, he's way out there somewhere. But we know about God's love through his word, because he has revealed in this love letter to us Jesus and the cross and how he's worked throughout history to bring us to this moment and bring all of who will follow him into a new creation where all of the sin and effects of curse will be behind us forever. But God's spirit brings his love into our hearts when we believe. That's why it says in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So God's Holy Spirit brings his love into our heart, and at least it's in, when God's Holy Spirit is in, God's love is in. And then so not only do we receive it, then we can live it out. I thank God for the ability to think. I hope I'm a reasonable guy. I want to be, you know, even intellectually smart. But I don't want to just know about God intellectually. I don't want a dry, mechanical religion. And I don't think anyone here does. For those who have that, I would say my heart goes out. You don't have to settle for that. I want a genuine relationship with God as my Father, where I have come to experience his love for me in such a way that it gives me a desire to want to please him. So that I'm not just going through religious motions, but he's in my heart and his love is in me, and I do want to please him, even though I do fall short. And I remember when I was 18, see, this is personal to me, because not only did he draw me when I was 7, but when my family got out of church, and I was out of church for years, and you know what influence is out there, if you don't have the godly and good influence. And I'm not saying I was just some evil guy, but I wasn't in fellowship with God for sure. And then going back to church, I can tell you what drew me. It was God's love, because I felt condemned. And I even started reading my Bible. Man, I knew I wasn't right with God. And I would just read my Bible in the mornings, like so dry. I didn't feel like I got anything out of it. But yet there was still something. I was listening to this pastor on the radio. He kept talking about God's love in such a real way. It just kept drawing me and drawing. I was miserable. I was trying to hang out with the guys and be cool. But I was going through a miserable time. And I finally just one night, I could take it to the spot on a Saturday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning. I just basically said, I'm tired. I'm back. Lord, I'm coming home. I was like the prodigal coming back into the family. And I can tell you, I sense God's love and forgiveness welcoming me back. But it was God's love that made the difference. And I haven't done, you know, everything right since that time. But here I am coming up on 60. And I thank God that he's kept it. And God's love is more real to me than it ever has been. Because we can grow in God's love. Would you turn to 1 John chapter 5? Toward the end of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5. And I just want to give you one scripture reference if you want to write it down before I read these verses. Again, just receive God's love and forgiveness and then do God's will out of love. So receive God's love and forgiveness. Would you say that with me? Receive God's love and forgiveness and then do God's will out of love. Would you say that? Do God's will out of love. So we receive God's love. And then the love in our heart leads us to do what is right. I say this, if we, and I know people do, but if we take God's love and forgiveness lightly, it is because we are not fully aware of the deadly effects of our sin against God and the offense that it brings. David committed adultery. He had her husband, who was a leader in his military, placed on the front line so he would be killed. So his sin certainly affected and hurt others, just like ours does at times, certainly. But David, when he prayed and really came back to the Lord in forgiveness, you can read about it in Psalm 51, he said, "Against you and you only have I sinned." Ultimately, all sin is against God. Yes, other people hurt or affected, but it's against God. So if we take God's love and forgiveness lightly, we're not fully aware of the deadly effects of that sin that separates us from a holy God. And we are not fully aware of the depth of his loving forgiveness toward us. In Luke chapter 7, a Pharisee invited Jesus into his home for dinner. And Jesus went. And the Pharisee didn't even give him the common courtesy of, you know, washing his feet, which would be typical in that culture. You know, they'd walk everywhere, their feet are dusty, and they would, you know, wash their feet before they came into the home. Maybe we would compare it to taking our shoes off if shoes were dirty going into the house, especially coming up into a table where some of them were real low and you almost leaned and laid down and your feet were away from the table. But while they were there eating, a woman comes in and she begins to wash Jesus, the dirt off of his feet. And she took this expensive, like a costly oriental perfume and anointed his head with it. And everyone knew her reputation. And the men started thinking, if this was a prophet, he'd know what kind of woman she is touching him. And he told a little story to the man who invited him in his own home. He said, "Let me ask you a question." Basically, he just said, "Here are two debtors. They owe money to one man. One owes 3 months' salary and one owes year's salary. And he freely forgave them both. Which one do you think will love more?" And the man said, "Well, I guess the one who was forgiven more." And he said, "That's right. You said it correctly. And I came into your home. You didn't even bother to wash the dirt off my feet." You think he was getting a little indigestion right there? But yet, she has washed with her tears, moved by the love of God. "You didn't anoint me, but yet she's placed this costly perfume on me and anointed me. And this is what the Bible says in Luke 7. Just hold your spot there in 1 John. I'll be right there to join you. Words on the screen. Luke chapter 7, toward the end of that chapter. Verse 47, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many." Jesus didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't sweep it under the rug. He said, yes, she has many sins that she has committed, but her sins, which she has committed, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. One translation says, those who assume they have very little to be forgiven will love me very little. See, brothers and sisters, if we've been forgiven at all, we've been forgiven much. Past, present, and future sins. I know we categorize them humanly. I get that. Someone who was, you know, came to the Lord at 5 years old and lived to follow the Lord, thank God for that great testimony. And maybe someone over here who had all kind of wickedness and, you know, whatever it may be. But we've all been saved by the same grace of God. And Jesus didn't have to reach down any further to reach that one that he did the other, because we've all sinned. And thank God we have been freely and fully forgiven if we know him. That's why he says in verse 48, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Your faith in me has brought you into right relationship with me. Now go walk in the ways of peace. See, that's, aren't you glad that we can receive God's love and forgiveness, and then that frees us to walk in the ways of peace, coming into wholeness and wellness. But love makes the difference. Here's the principle. We've forgiven much, love much. And so Jesus said, freely you have received what? Freely give. So receive God's love and forgiveness, and then do God's will out of love. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. The Bible says this. By this we know that we love the children of God. Okay, here's the test. How do we know we really love others? Jesus, the scripture will tell us. This is how we know the love of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Now, does that sound like a modern day definition of love in the world's eyes? Hey, we need to really love each other. Yes, I agree. But how do you show that love? Love God and do his will. Love God and keep his commandments. That's not what the world says, is it? Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. See, God lifts the love. Remember, I told you our sin mars God's image in us. But see, God's love lifts the love of family to a divine level. What does he say? He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wives, reverence your husband the same way you would the Lord. He takes that human love and lifts it to a divine level. He takes friendship love and lifts it, even romantic love. Romantic love is sanctified and lifted to a divine level above self-pleasing, self-focused love, because God's love makes the difference. That's how it's lived out in our practical lives. This is the test. The test isn't just the emotion I feel, although I thank God when I have those emotions. I thank God for the times that I have been, honestly, I would call it almost overcome by emotion of the goodness and love of God for me. You are looking at a blessed man. And I don't take that lightly. I believe I can say this as honest as I know my heart before everyone here, before the Lord. If my life ended today, and I'm praying for at least like 90 years, but if it ended today, some may think I didn't live a long life. But I want everyone to know I have lived a full life. I have lived a blessed life, a life better than I ever deserved. God has been good to me. And I know it's his love for me that makes a difference. But God's love is not limited by my emotions. And God's love is not limited by circumstances. We can choose to love by faith in God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, even when our emotions are telling us different, because that's the only way we could do what Jesus said when he said, love your enemies. Yeah. Do you see how it's not just emotion? It's an act of the will, because God's love has made a difference in me and I still want to please him. That's why he says in verse 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that's overcome the world. What? Our faith. See, it's by faith that we receive the love of goodness, love and goodness and forgiveness of God. But this scripture tells us it's by faith that we overcome evil. We overcome that tendency to sin that we have. This is the true test of our love. And that word said is not a, it's not a burden to us. In other words, when God's love is motivating what I'm doing, I'm loved God, I love others out of his love for me, then it's more of a blessing than a burden. I didn't say there's not a battle in our will. Oh, yes, it is. But it becomes more of a blessing. I'm motivated because God's love inspires us to obedience. If you want to write this, this reference down, it's found in Genesis chapter 27. Let me give you the exact verses. Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Verses 18 through 20, we can put it on the screen. It talks about a man named Jacob who wanted to marry this young lady named Rachel. And he thought she was fine and she was pretty, but she was also a woman of faith. She came from a family of faith. And the Bible says in that verse, now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said to her dad, I'm going to serve you 7 years, or I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. How many of y'all would like to, I'll serve you 7 years to marry your younger daughter. And so the Bible says in the next verse, and her father said to him, Laban said, it is better that I give her to you, and I could appreciate the free 7 years of labor. That I should give her to another man. Go ahead and stay with me. And then it says this in verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him. Why? Because of the love he had for her. Can somebody say love inspires? Haven't you ever done anything out of love for someone? It's just like, even if it was the emotion, okay. Man, and you're motivated. How many of you... You got your kids depending on you. Your family's depending on you. And you didn't feel like going to work, but you did it anyway because you loved them. And you went ahead and did it, or you did your school or whatever it is. That's what it is. It's like I received God's love because God's love is the greatest and highest love of all. And then so God's love then can inspire me and motivate me to obedience because I want to please him. And so I'm going to follow his commandments so that I show that I love him and love others as well. And I close with these last two verses, Philippians chapter 1, if you want to write it down. Philippians chapter 1. Again, God's love can move our emotions, but it's not limited by our emotions. It's not limited by circumstances. It's pure and selfless love that God has for us. And if we want to walk in that type of love and that kind of faith consistently, we must stay in close fellowship with him. And how do we stay in close fellowship with God? Because he's out there in heaven and I'm here. But if we know him, where is his spirit? In me, in us. So how do we stay in close fellowship with God so that we can walk in love, so that we can walk in faith? Somebody tell me, somebody help me. Prayer can keep us in fellowship with our Father in heaven, right? Through his spirit. What else? David, a fellowship in God's, the scripture keeps us. I'll share a testimony with you in just a moment. But sometimes, you know, God's word is not always what we want to hear, but it can be what we need to hear, right? And it keeps us in fellowship with him. So the word and prayer, anything else? Right. Okay. Fellowship with other godly people, spirit indwelt, spirit filled believers. I heard someone else say another one. Worship. Worship brings us into the presence of God and keeps us in close fellowship with him. I need worship. As, like if I just watch the news one morning, I need to get back in the presence of God because it's enough to bring you down if you let it or rile you emotionally up, you know. So staying in close fellowship with God, loving God, living it out. God's love makes the difference. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. And we close Philippians chapter 1. It's a prayer, two verses here, really three, but verse 9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." Some translations say, "This is my prayer, that you would keep growing in love." So aren't you glad we don't have to stop where we are right now? We can grow in love. We can grow in God's love and goodness, grow in his grace, grow in peace. "This I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge," and this is very important, "and all discernment." We need to not only grow in God's love, brothers and sisters, we need to grow in discernment, because Jesus said before he returns, many will be deceived. There will be widespread and rampant deception as we get closer and closer to the return of the Lord. So he says, I want you to grow in love, and I want you to grow in discernment. Verse 10 tells us why, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We need to keep growing in love, keep growing in discernment. God's love does not approve sin. God's love does not excuse sin. God's love inspires obedience. God's love fulfills God's law. Remember that scripture? This is how we show love for one another, when we love God and keep his commandments. This is Romans 13:10. This is how the law is fulfilled. Loving others as we love and value ourselves. So, again, this is in contrast to the world. We need to know this, because the world says you can do whatever you want and God still loves you. It's not an issue of love. It's a matter of receiving the blessings and benefits of God's love and walking in all that he has provided for us. The Bible says this: test all things. Test all things by the word of God. God's word is the only objective standard of truth. It is forever settled in heaven. It is proven. It is inspired and unchanging. I'm not saying that to be hard. I'm saying because we need to know, because God's love is also revealed in his word, and God's word is his standard. Jesus said, "The Father has committed all judgment to the Son." And then Jesus said in the book of John, "I'm not even going to judge you. It's the words that I've spoken that will judge us on the last day." So when we stand before the Lord and give account, it will be based on the truth of Scripture that was given to us and our response to it. You see how God's love makes the difference? I'm telling you, God's love can make the difference in not only how we live, but how we respond in obedience, how we get along with others. Honestly, there are times when, you know, someone may just offend me, or we have a little rift between us and the family, or just whatever it may be. And sometimes I want to be like, I'm going to make them pay. I don't say that, but you know what I'm saying. I think it. I'm going to get. But yet God's love says, nope. And drawing me. Oh, Lord, I messed up. I'll never get this thing right. Drawing me. God's love makes the difference. I thank God he didn't give up on me. I thank God that his love is drawing me even today, right now, drawing me, because I still need. I'm still in need. And I thank God for his love and forgiveness. So today I just want to ask you this. Will you believe God and receive completely God's love and forgiveness for you? Let's put away any barriers, any hindrances. Someone emailed me this week about last week's message, and it was an emotional day for this person because of, she actually said about, it wasn't all, you know, what I wanted to hear, but what I needed. It was a very emotional day for her because of just some of history background with her father, and just, you know, something that had gone on, and just the emotions of seeing the pictures of dads and being reminded of just her own memories in life. But she wrote and said, you know, not being with the dad and having some, you know, issues going on right now, even personally in a family, it moved my heart. But she said, "The Heavenly Father touched me in a very intimate way in the depths of my heart and reminded me of his great love for me, of his love and acceptance. And I'm so thankful. See, what I mean by seeing and enjoying God's blessings, some would say, well, that was just a, you know, chance of, you know, whatever, you know, circumstances. But she said, no, that was my Father reminding me of his love for me, even while I was hurting and going through this time. And then the song we closed with last week, we weren't even planning on playing, but it was the song that played when she gave her life to Jesus when she was 17 years old. And now she's the age that her dad was when he passed. But you see what I'm saying? God's love makes the difference. But has it made a difference to you? Has it made a difference to you? And then will you open up your heart to just believe and receive? And then would you just simply say, Lord, I do love you. I feel like I don't love you like I should, but I do love you. And I'm going to ask you to help me love you more and to live for you. If that's your heart today, I want to ask you to just pray it to God even now. Can we just close our eyes? And I just want to lead us in prayer in just a moment. Those of you watching or joining, I'd like to include you in this prayer as well before we have a song and then communion together. And just in this moment, would you just be honest with yourself and God and just admit if there's been something that has hindered God's love in you, receiving his forgiveness and freedom. Maybe like me, you based it on performance or whatever in the past. I'm asking now, would you just set that aside and freely receive?